Welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Yuck.
Sorry, I had to cough right in the middle of Elise's intro there.
It's really rude.
I did it off mic.
Still here. Still pretty successful.
I was in the room, but I was off mic.
The mic definitely picked it up.
Right.
But I wasn't like right into the
mic. It sounded gross.
Do you have
I
any
could
more
not get out of the room.
Handful of pretzels?
No, I ate my handful of pretzels. I'm not
That's
good.
Like a little pretzel
I don't feel
dust
like a handful
of
pretzels is that weird of a thing to have.
I think when you shove a handful of pretzels at somebody, like, want a pretzel.
It just felt like.
I had pretzels in my hand.
No, like
maybe your
a
hand
closed fist, by the way.
Well, if I had it open.
With pretzels like poking out from his fingers, like he's like playing Wolverine or something.
Right. That is the best way to hold pretzels. I think science will back me up on this. Yeah.
I think that a bowl? A cup? You have a cup.
My cup is filled with water. That would be
you
gross.
You could grab another cup and fill it with pretzels.
I had a cup in my hand. I did not have another cup accessible to me when I was getting the pretzels.
They were in the kitchen.
They were not in the kitchen. The pretzels were in the super secret snack room off the kitchen.
Next to the kitchen.
I don't know what this says about me, but I did take a pretzel. So
it says that you're a normal person who said, hey, those pretzels look delicious. And yes, I would like a pretzel. And it's not weird to hold pretzels in your hand.
I mean, in fairness, they are Dots pretzels.
They were delicious.
The best pretzel.
Yeah.
They're very good.
So,
also, in fairness, to your point, Patrick, it is really humid here, so his hand could have been damp. So.
My hand was not damp. My hands are always dry.
Always.
It's a medical condition. I don't like to talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dry hands.
All right. We're all back together again.
We are. It's going well.
Going as well as anyone could have expected.
Yeah.
Happy July, everybody. It's been a minute.
Happy middle of July.
Happy middle of July.
We made it halfway through the year, friends.
All right. I've got a news story here.
Okay.
First, are you familiar with the Minions?
Yes.
Are we talking the movie or are we talking just generally labeling people as Minions?
The Minions characters from DreamWorks or Illumination. I think it's Illumination.
It is Illumination. And yes, I am familiar. Yes. I love Despicable Me, the original.
Mm-hmm.
They've all, in my opinion, kind of rode that train and I don't know why it's still going, but it is. Yeah. I'm familiar with the
Minions. It was a perfect thing on its own, I think. You know, like Despicable Me, and we didn't need Despicable Me 2.
No.
I think there's three now.
Yeah.
There's definitely a three, and now there's several separate Minions movies that are separate from Despicable Me.
Yeah, the newest one, Minions and Monsters, is the one that's... Have y'all seen this new Minions?
I've not seen any of the Minions,
I've seen Despicable Me 1, and that is the end of that.
I have seen 2. I saw Despicable Me 2.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that's truly because I have children. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Well, anyway... Minions and Monsters director makes it clear the Minions never worked for Hitler.
What?
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah, you were right there.
Was this a thing that needed clarification? Were people accusing the Minions of having worked for Hitler?
All right. So in the new Minions movies, they span history. They're not just, in like whatever... fictional New York.
We're doing a backstory to the Minions.
They do. Mm-hmm. And they're always gravitating towards who is the biggest villain to be their minions.
I see the problem.
And so
when
you're attaching that with Hitler,
Hitler existed in.
Yeah, would the Minions have been drawn to work for Hitler?
Okay,
yeah.
So I think that's a reasonable question, but I have lived under the perhaps naive assumption that the universe of the Minions, given its flexibility with laws of physics and gravity and other things that I experienced in Despicable Me, perhaps was not the same universe in which we currently live. And so I just assume there was no Hitler in the Minion universe.
Okay.
So how could they have worked for someone that never existed?
That might be a reasonable assumption.
Reasonable assumption, but don't they work for other historical figures?
They have. To my knowledge.
Yeah. I've not kept up, so I don't know. Yeah. So who have they worked for? Who's on the list?
Isn't there like Genghis Khan involved or something?
Nice. I like that.
I mean, he's also pretty evil.
Genghis Khan was a terrible dude.
Killed a lot of people. I mean, look, it's different because, you know, maybe it's not modern.
It wasn't.
It's ancient.
European history.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure. Yeah.
So.
It felt like it wasn't racial so much.
You know? It was just
which
like,
I think is why we're all like, okay.
I'm
like,
equally a jerk to everybody.
I'm pillaging everyone, including you.
Yeah, it's fine.
Or if it was, maybe it is. I don't know.
I mean, none of like the ancient rulers who were conquering things were like great people. Like they were all conquering and pillaging for their own power and glory. Like, you know, Alexander the Great, just because he has the great in his name doesn't mean he was like...
Just Alexander is less impressive. He's not Madonna.
Right, exactly. Come on, Alexander. You're not Madonna.
Yeah. Yeah, so here is the definite. Here's why the guy said it.
Okay.
Here's what the director said.
Was there an accusation that warranted response?
He was asked in an interview, did the minions work for Hitler?
Okay, so yes.
The hard-hitting questions, yeah. journalistic integrity.
Oh, they did serve Napoleon, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Well, that's, Napoleon.
Is Napoleon even all that bad?
He's a fancy boy. Yeah.
He was a conquering kind of guy. He was not like
they're all
evil.
That.
Yeah.
They're all right. That. You know? Yeah.
They're all, yeah.
And perhaps the minions led to his Waterloo, if you will.
Okay.
That's where he was defeated.
Yeah.
It's not that the minions would have not worked for Hitler.
So they would have.
Oh.
It's that the
they
first
the
Minions movie says they were hibernating in a cave from 1812 to 1968.
That's convenient.
So they were in a cave.
How are they fighting for Napoleon? Was Napoleon pre-1812?
Napoleon, I think, was very early 1800s, wasn't he?
I thought Napoleon was mid-1800s.
Now,
I don't know.
In
my
the
Napoleon
newest
history.
Minions movie, we might need to get some red yarn out here. Because the newest Minions movie takes place in 1920s Hollywood.
Okay.
They're supposed to be hibernating.
Exactly. How are they hibernating and also in 1920s Hollywood?
Nope. Yeah. Smell a rat.
Yeah.
Should have stuck with the alternate universe. Should have stuck with that theory. Yeah.
Now, true, he also clarifies the minions did not work for Hitler, but not did Hitler work for the minions.
Ooh.
Right.
Interesting. That somehow feels worse.
Right, if Hitler was a minion.
I didn't understand anything Hitler understood any more than I understood.
How many people actually saw Hitler, really?
A lot. Let's just be clear. A lot of people saw that. That's...
Yeah, so
there will be no Hitler denial on this podcast.
I'm not a Hitler denier.
So the minions, he says, stuck in a cave, not part of that part of history.
But they also just said that in the movie they're hibernating, like they're in the 1920s, which is very much not stuck in a cave.
I don't know. Maybe in the movie they go back to the cave afterwards. Maybe they come out.
It's like a time travel thing.
They do some Hollywood stuff. They're doing classic movie monsters and then going back to the cave.
Okay. Huh. I don't know. I feel like we should have just avoided this question altogether, but that's...
And yet we did not.
Yeah. See, we could have stopped with Despicable Me 1, and we could have all lived in blissful ignorance of whether or not the minions ever
worked
for
Hitler. Yeah.
Napoleon, by the way, was in power until 1815. Fun fact that I...
Okay, so they worked for him in the beginning.
Yeah. So they missed the twilight of
that's
Napoleon.
Probably why, that's probably why Napoleon failed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I got
his Waterloo. He did not have his minions.
Sent to the island because no minions.
Yeah, exiled.
You know, maybe it's a weird question. Who are the minions working for today?
Hmm.
I think we all know the
answer.
We've got a couple answers, right?
Got some options on the table.
Pretty rich pool here.
Let me just say this. Napoleon was exiled to an island.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should bring exile back.
Exile was a great punishment, honestly.
Like, I'd take it. Like, can someone exile me to an island by myself for a while?
Yes. Just like a small exile.
Yeah. Just a couple months.
Is he like by himself on the island?
Man, I don't know how European exile works.
I assume not. Like, there's got to be like, it's not like just dropped off on an island. He's got like,
Good luck.
Build a hut and like figure out how to like eat coconuts or whatever.
This is ancient survivor. They had people like watching him and then sending back newspaper reports.
I assume it's just like an island prison that he is on.
I don't know. I have no
idea. I don't think it was even a prison, was it? I think he was just kind of on house arrest on an island.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. Even better.
Yeah,
I could go to house arrest on an island.
Kind of came and went. I think there was guards.
People still have to be there?
Yeah. You know.
Is John from his island, is that?
We're talking John of the Bible, who wrote Revelation.
Yes.
No, there are definitely people on the island with John. Yeah. But it was similar. It was like a prisoner colony kind of thing. So everybody there was a prisoner, is my understanding.
Yeah.
Sure. But you weren't like in jail because the
easier
island was
than
the
building
prison.
Walls. Just put them on an island. Yeah.
Right.
There you go.
That was usually like enemies of the state, wasn't it? Kind of reserved
I think
for
so,
that.
Yeah.
That's kind of an interesting idea. Is like, let's take all the people that hate our regime and put them together.
Yeah.
Like, see what happens.
Yeah. This is the next new hit reality TV show.
Right. Yeah.
And then I do want to know who amongst them will the minions gravitate to the most.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Who they know in their heart of hearts who is the most evil. Yeah. So that would be a good question. We put people in a room and see which ones the minions go to.
Is that the minions? Is that the minions' lore that the minions are drawn to the most evil person in the room?
Yeah, they want to be a part of the biggest villain.
So they're not drawn to Gru because of Gru's like leadership or because of like they're drawn to Gru because he's allegedly the most evil person.
Correct.
Yeah, because he's going to steal the moon.
But he's not that evil.
He's not evil, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think the minions have been falsely cast. I don't think they're actually drawn. I think this is like the compass in Pirates of the Caribbean, where people think it's pointing north, but really it's pointing to the thing you most desire. I think the minions are drawn to something other than just evil, but we just identify.
They're drawn to the redemption arc.
Yeah, they're drawn to the person most likely to experience a redemption arc. Yeah. In which case, they would not have worked for Hitler,
right?
Because Hitler was the least likely to experience a redemption arc.
I think we solved it. Honestly. Yeah,
there we go. Yeah. You're welcome, director of Minions and Monsters.
We could have given a better answer than in a cave, but also not in a cave.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Or, I mean, also maybe like even minions have their limits. You know, like,
right.
Maybe that's even a better, like, even they have standards. Yeah. You know, right. Like they're going to say like, that's a bridge too far.
Listen.
Kevin.
All right. So for the pod, we are going to do kind of a bit of a, what did we miss?
Yeah. What did I miss?
Are we going to sing the song from Hamilton? The song. What did I miss? Anyway.
Have you seen Hamilton?
Doesn't seem like something Patrick would have seen.
Why not?
You just don't seem like someone
I'm asking him legitimately.
And I'm asserting my opinion before he expresses it.
I have seen it
okay.
at the Hobby Center here in
wow,
Houston.
Wow, okay.
And
seen it live.
I have watched it on the Disney the Disney yeah. special that came out. I've seen both those versions. I think Satisfied is the best song in the whole production.
It's a good one. Yeah.
And the girls are better than the boys at the singing. So.
That's all fair. Yeah. All good.
I have not seen Hamilton.
Act one better than act two,
listen,
which is
not even
a hot take.
I think my listeners, oh, absolutely. I think my listeners will back me up on this when I say that had we put money on this, I would have said Elise has seen Hamilton.
I know. It's
kind of
funny.
Not. Like,
yeah.
That's, yeah.
I don't know why you would do that. Are you saying I don't like musicals?
I think if you were to pick one of you, like if I said only one of you has seen Hamilton and we were just to take
only
a poll.
One of the three of us?
No, only one of the two of you.
Okay.
If the poll was one of the two of you have seen Hamilton and we were all just going to like place bets.
Interesting.
I bet the betting odds would be on Elise. I'm not saying anything against you. I'm glad you've seen it. I'm glad you enjoy it. I hope you like all musicals.
I've seen Les Mis on Broadway.
I hear you had a really great relationship with Cats. So.
I've seen Cats many a time. Yeah. I've seen Wicked 3 times in, you know, live.
I'm learning something new about you. This is very exciting.
I've seen many a musical, all right?
So. I'm just saying, I think listeners will back me up that is not the personality that
hidden
you bring
depths.
To the pod.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think my lore, equal to Elise, is a lover of storytelling.
I fully agree that you're a lover of stories. Yeah. I don't know that lover of stories automatically lends itself to musical production.
That's fair. I'm not so much of like a musical person.
Yeah. See, this is, I'm learning
things. I feel like Hamilton was like spoiled for me. Like I know what happens. You know,
sure.
Kind of like the movie PS. Pearl Harbor. Like, right. I get it.
Titanic. No. Yeah. It's like, all right.
Now, what if the minions were kind of around the King George at the time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Would the minions be working for King George?
Yeah. Depends on your perspective, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, it does. Yeah. Darth Vader or the Rebel cause. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Where are they? Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, what do we miss? We've got two stories here that we missed. I'll give you your option. Which do you want to do first?
Number two.
Okay.
I'm going to step out for a second.
Yes.
All right. Number two. That's the SBC convention.
All right.
Or
do you want to do Texas? Texas's new curriculum.
I'm fine either way. I don't care.
At least you got strong feelings one way or the other.
Nope.
I mean, I got lots of strong feelings. I just don't care which one we talk about first.
I know minimal details about both of these things. I've been happily under a rock this summer.
Happily in bliss.
So
that seems like an uncomfortable place to be.
Yeah. I've been avoiding the news.
Yeah.
So
okay.
It's been nice.
All right. The 2006 Southern Baptist Convention annual meeting.
2006 or 2026?
26.
Okay.
And they've just been meeting for 20 years.
I don't know.
It takes some time to hash this.
We just
I don't
got
know
the
how
minutes
Baptists do
from
things.
2006. Yeah.
Yeah. They voted.
Mm-hmm.
About what?
About women.
Okay.
Not votes for women.
By the way,
votes about women.
Definitely not
correct?
That.
All dudes.
Yep.
Right.
Everyone who voted is a dude.
Because women are not allowed to vote.
Or even attend, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I don't know. And I want to say, like, I don't know that for a fact.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe.
There might be people.
I don't want to paint them in a worse light.
Yeah. They
Minions might be listening and being like, ooh, SBC.
SBC is going to paint themselves into their own light. I don't think we need to do that for them. So, yeah. Go ahead. What
okay.
do we got? They voted on women.
The SBC historically has been anti-women in preaching role, pastoral
Correct.
Roles from its inception. Like mm-hmm.
This is not news.
This is not news, but they needed to vote again to make sure it's like, we really mean it, you guys.
Just reaffirm this.
So in 2026, they took another vote to say that women are not allowed to preach.
Correct. Mm. Now they want to make sure this means not just senior pastor.
Oh.
All pastoral roles cannot be a woman. And that even includes women speaking on a podcast dissecting a sermon. That's too close to a pastoral role.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't realize that I was upsetting so many people potentially.
I guess technically we don't dissect a lot of sermons.
Yeah,
we could. You could bring your material in, and we could be like, "This sucks." Anything better.
Listen, you do that already.
Yeah,
don't need, like don't need that to be air. Public. All right.
We have signed. We have like scorecards at the end.
I'm aware. Yeah, I've seen it. Your scorecards are in your faces. I'm aware.
Okay, some people out there.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying that SBC churches, Southern mm-hmm. Baptist churches, mm-hmm. were avoiding the title senior pastor Ooh. While giving women pastoral authority.
Oh, no. Oh,
gasp. Pearl cut.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So they wanted to close any loophole
right.
that may have been exploited.
We don't want a woman to show up and like be a pastor for outreach or a pastor for health ministry. We don't want that.
Correct.
We don't want a woman to be on a podcast saying I'm a teacher of ministry and I'm talking about the sermon and expanding on what. No, stop that.
Right.
Because the only women who are allowed to talk is none.
Zero women.
except for, you know, the first one who proclaimed the gospel, which was Mary Magdalene seeing Jesus and going back to the disciples and saying we have. Anyway, that's beside the point, I guess, at this point. Yeah. Okay. All right, so SBC, no women. No women preaching.
We're super serious, you guys.
The vote passed, we really mean it. Then.
It did pass.
Did it? Were there any dissensions?
Yeah. Listen to that.
75% voted passing.
Okay, so 25%.
To add it to their constitutional amendment. Now, it must.
It wasn't already in their constitution?
Now,
this is new?
No, to make these qualifications. Oh, okay. To clarify.
Okay,
all right.
It's not just senior pastor.
Not just senior pastor. All women could not have the title of pastor or preach under the authority of the senior pastor because that is a pastoral duty.
I don't even know what that means, to preach under the authority. Yeah.
Like you're saying, like if the pastor is like up there on stage, and he's like, I'm going to let this woman come out and say a word about our message under my authority.
I have never in my life
thought
that as a pastor, I should bring somebody out and say, under my authority, this person's now allowed
to talk. I have a whole soapbox about this. It's probably not appropriate for this podcast today, but we can talk about it later.
Okay.
Now, it must pass again next year in 2027.
They have to pass it twice. Oh, because constitutional amendment. Okay.
Constitutional.
Yeah, I got to pass it twice.
I got to pass it twice. So.
$20 bucks says it passes.
Anyway. Can we campaign about this somehow? Just like.
We are not part of the SBC,
I know,
so I think our campaign is going to be pretty ineffective.
I don't know. Yeah. I feel like we could do more to stir the pot. Like it might be a passion project.
I mean, I do think we should do more, not necessarily as a podcast, but I mean, I think we can do more to lift up the value and the beauty of female preachers and female leadership within churches, and we can mm-hmm. do more to better highlight the ways in which scripture itself supports female leadership within churches.
I argued with some people online about it.
Yeah, how'd that go? Did that feel good for you?
I mean, he stopped commenting, so I feel like I won.
You won. You didn't get blocked. You won.
That's right. Where were you engaging in this high schooled rhetoric?
The Christianity subreddit.
Okay.
So,
yes. Reddit, no less.
I was kind of pooping all over the SBC, so,
I love it.
I'm sure he did not find my comments all that exciting or all that enlightening for him.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, I think, and we've covered this on the podcast before, like the SBC was founded to be a pro-slavery mm-hmm. branch of mm-hmm. the
Preach.
Baptist Church.
Strike one.
And, I said, like, look, the story of scripture is about freedom,
mm-hmm.
but there are verses that the SBC pointed to mm-hmm. and they put all their weight on a verse versus the story of scripture. Mm-hmm. And I said, y'all did it then, you were wrong, and I think you're doing it again. Like
yep.
the story of scripture is ultimately equality. Like mm-hmm. that's where we're aiming and pointing to. But there are verses that are... you're hanging your hat on,
yep.
and you're falling for the same trap.
Yeah, I don't know all of the verses, but I'm pretty sure that the vast majority of the verses they're pointing to are all coming from Paul, who's writing to specific communities, dealing with specific situations.
And also, probably not written by Paul.
Yes.
First Timothy is probably not.
Yeah, First Timothy is probably not.
And that's probably the one they like hang the most.
They love Timothy. Yeah. Gosh.
Oh, Timmy.
I love Timothy too.
Yeah, a different one.
Same Timmy. Yeah.
Different Timothy.
He's great.
He's wonderful. Yeah.
Your son's fantastic. Your son, as far as I know, fully supports women in leadership in churches. Right. So.
I think he does.
He's never told me one way or the other.
I mean, he was a big fan of Pastor Cassandra when she was here.
He was. He did like Pastor Cassandra.
Yeah.
He did at one communion. She held out bread for him, and he took her, like, guided her hand to his mouth to put the bread into his mouth directly, like a pretzel.
Right.
Like,
thank you. That's not what happened.
I did not put my pretzel directly into Elise's mouth. Right. Elise took the pretzel out of my hand
out
and
of
with her
your
own
clenched
hand.
Fist.
That's right. Yeah.
Which is an acceptable way to hold a fistful of pretzels.
Yeah, there you go. SBC doing SBC. I mean, like, is this really all that surprising? I mean, like, it just feels kind of weird. Like, it's 2026. Do we really need to, like, double down on what you're already doing?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, they're threatened by the secular world, Patrick.
Yeah.
And by some people who are trying to, like, undermine the thing. And so, I mean, if the theory is, okay, our people are revolting against our constitution, we need to double down on our doctrine, then I get it. I think it's wrong, and I don't think that makes it good. But from a politics standpoint, I'm like, okay, yeah, make the law, fine.
Yeah. I mean, I would expect them probably to get more radicalized before they get less radicalized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's entirely possible that 25% will start saying, okay, well, we're going non-denominational.
Split, yeah.
Yeah.
Now we're Baptists who dance.
Yep.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I think you're probably right. Like, that this amendment did not need to happen for the safety and sanctity of the SBC's theology.
No.
That this is a cultural issue that at the very least is like putting them back in the news for their conservative values and gender roles and for you know, a segment of the population that is very excited about gender roles and conservative, you know, and I'm putting conservative in quotes, values. Yeah, right. And putting values in quotes too.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of quotes here.
Right. A lot of quotes.
This whole conversation is quoted.
This might be, an appeal to kind of like look at us as kind of like a Christian, and I'm Christian in quotes, option if you're church hunting or community hunting, you know, like...
Hunting in quotes?
Yeah. No, the community might be, though. Okay. Yeah.
Hard to track.
A lot of quotes going on.
Yeah. I think it's also probably worth clarifying that, like, the 25% that voted against this, I don't know that anybody in that 25% would say that women should be pastors.
Oh, like, 100% no.
Right.
I think they're probably voting on, like,
a technicality,
this
or like
already is what we believe.
Right.
Why
right.
do we need
Why
to
do, we need
do,
to
this?
Do yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Or like maybe under my authority, I should be allowed to let whoever, but like I still should have the authority, right? Like I, you know, something like that I could see, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Like
I don't think that 25% is like the liberal progressive arm of the SBC that's going to like slowly turn the tide.
Yeah. I wish. I'd love to see it. But.
I am sure that there are people, you know, SBC pastors who are genuinely, I want to squash women in church. And I think there are some that, based on their upbringing, they just see this as their theology.
Yeah.
And it not being a intentional squashing against women's views or values.
It's just their theology.
It's just
God squashing your...
It may be that. But they're not saying, like, I'm intentionally doing that. And so for those 25%, they might be like, we don't need to do this. This is just... This feels intentionally versus our theology was fine as is. Now, again, I think we all kind of would say your as is was already
a problem.
A problem. But, you know.
Yeah, I hear that. Okay.
There you go.
But we ain't changing it today.
Not today, Satan, says our cross stitch here in the corner next to our Jesus.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about here in Texas.
Tejas, welcome home.
Yeah.
We've got some...
Take me home. No, wait, that's...
Approved
West Virginia.
West Virginia. Curriculum.
So, this is a sidebar. Did you know that like all the landmarks that they sing about in Country Roads are actually in Virginia and not in West Virginia?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep.
Have we talked about that in the
podcast?
Well,
he's driving.
Oh, so he's like...
He's driving up from like up the Appalachia to West Virginia.
So he's trying to... So he's not...
Or flying.
He's not marking landmarks of West Virginia.
No,
he's marking
like on the way to West Virginia.
Passing to get to West Virginia.
Yeah. Okay. He talks about Blue Ridge Mountain.
Right. Which are not in West Virginia. Right.
Yeah. Shenandoah Valley.
Not in West Virginia.
Right. Yeah. So he's like going.
All right. I learned something today. There we go. Great. Unlike the SBC, which learned nothing.
That's a great song, by the way.
That's a good song.
John Denver.
Absolutely. Yeah. overall pro John Denver.
Is John Denver named for the city, or is the city named for him?
I think probably neither.
That's disappointing.
Assuming John Denver was his given name and not his stage name.
I think it's probably a stage name.
You think?
Yeah.
I think so.
We should look this up.
We could. Later. We have phones on our person right now.
Yeah.
But we won't. No. Yeah.
I looked up Napoleon earlier. I already did my thing.
Yeah. Listeners, tell us if John Denver is his stage name.
Yeah.
We'll look up right after. All right. Well, anyway. The Texas School Board did pass some new curriculum. This will not take effect until 2030-31 school year.
2030-31.
Okay.
So we got some time.
Yeah. Okay.
But basically, we're adding more Bible reading to English language arts sections.
I'm sorry. More? Does that mean there was some already? Because that would have been news to me.
Okay. Well, this actually is news to me because I did some research.
All right.
So we have two separate Texas initiatives right now.
Okay.
Number one is the Blue Bonnet Learning Curriculum.
That is what is currently in play in our local school district because my daughter has very strong feelings about the Blue Bonnet curriculum. All right.
She anti-Blue Bonnets?
She is not Blue Bonnets, but anti-Blue Bonnet curriculum. She does not like it.
What about it?
I mean, her assessment is that it's making her read like 1 to 2 page things about a wide variety of topics and then answer very specific questions about those 1 to 2 page things. And she is a voracious reader. And so she's like, I want to read about, like, I don't want to just like read this and like recite back what I just read. I want to like actually read and learn things. Like,
yeah.
That's hard for me to argue with there, child. Right. I hear that. Anyway.
So Blue Bottle Learning Curriculum is optional for school districts.
Yeah.
Although districts do receive additional funding if they adopt it.
It's not surprising. That's standard protocol. Okay.
Yeah. And then the statewide required reading would be statewide and required. So Blue Bonnet is optional, technically.
Okay.
And this would be, and Blue Bonnet also K-5 elementary school.
Right.
This is K-12 is the new one.
Oh, okay.
And basically, yeah, we're adding in biblical readings, and I got what the Blue Bonnet does, and I got what the new one is going to kind of add in there.
All right. So I've got.
And the new one is, the curriculum has not been fully like written yet, so I can't say exactly, but this is like their proposal.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So I guess question number one would be, how do we feel about biblical readings in public schools? And question number two would be, how do we feel about these particular readings? Because I think I'm stepping way, way back here, right? There is a place for reading of sacred texts from a variety of backgrounds in a public school study setting, right? Mm-hmm. I think you could read sacred texts. And in fact, I think I read in high school something from Siddhartha. I think, Siddhartha is like a sacred-ish text.
That would be the Buddha.
Right, yeah. I've read stuff like that.
Yeah.
I did not read anything from the Bible in my public education that I recall. Yeah. But like I could see like, okay, we're going to compare the creation myth of Genesis versus the creation myth of ancient Babylon versus the creation myth of...
I can tell you right now.
That's not what's happening.
Texas is not going to call that a myth.
Yeah, you've already polarized. Yeah.
I understand. But if you're teaching us from a public school setting, I think you can have an academic pursuit of that. I don't think that's what this is, and that's why I would be opposed to this.
Well, that's because this only applies to the Bible, I believe.
Right.
Point number one.
I think there's probably some statements that the conservative side that's pushing for this that I think are kind of accurate, and that understanding wide swatches of Western art, literature, and kind of culture do kind of have connection to the Bible.
That's fair.
I mean, the Bible is probably, I mean, I don't even think probably, but it's like the... I mean, most important, like even like from like a secular standpoint, it has had the most influence on Western world than anything else.
Yep,
that's fair.
And maybe the world, you know, like, you know, if we, you know, want to get
thanks
down
to colonialism.
Yeah, brass tacks or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so yeah, as kind of a work of literature or work of art, I can understand saying like that it is influential and important.
Mm-hmm.
I think how we're approaching those things, I don't fully trust.
Yeah.
You know, like that it's being approached that way.
Yeah.
And
it's being sold that way.
Well, I don't even think it's even being sold that way. I think it's being placated that way.
Okay. Fair enough.
You know, so like, by kind of like how kind of some of these things are kind of, put into kind of these lessons. Mm-hmm. So I think it's kind of an interesting topic of like, has the Bible influenced Western culture? And I think that's undeniably yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And can you separate understanding Western culture without understanding the Bible? I don't really know, because I understand both.
That's so fair. Like, I mean,
I
think from the understanding of Western culture at a K through 12 mindset, I think yes. Like, I think, like, if you're doing, like, a deep dive into anthropology of Western culture in, like, college and graduate school, then, yeah, you're absolutely going to have to look at the influence of biblical texts. But
I think even doing, like, art history of, like, the Enlightenment period, it's all, like, going to have, like, biblical influence and things like that.
Sure, but I didn't do art history of the Enlightenment period in high school.
You learned about Leonardo da Vinci and, you know, Michelangelo. I mean, like, those things.
I mean, I learned that there were artists, but I wasn't doing, like, a deep dive and study of their work.
Yeah, it's more on a surface level. Maybe
I don't know, maybe that was just my curriculum at the time. Like, I don't remember us getting that deep into it, but I was in high school 20 years ago.
I think unless you're taking AP classes, I don't ago. Let's stop. Moment of silence for how long it's been.
I mean, like, as a student, I read The Scarlet Letter, and that is undeniably influenced by Puritanism, you know, of that age.
Yeah.
And like, I think you understanding biblical allusions and kind of things like important. I read Chaucer, you know, you know, those things are kind of a lot of biblical kind of allusions and things like that. I read Les Mis, and that has a lot of biblical allusions and, you know, things like that into it. So I do think, like, again, I do think that it is additive to understanding those things.
Okay.
I don't think that this is the way to do that.
Okay.
So.
No. Yeah. I mean, I think you, yes, these things are all influenced by the Bible, but you could get there to understanding, like, the works of art. I think it was just, like, a cursory understanding of the themes in the Bible, you know, like, which you could include with your lesson plan easily without having required reading of the Bible. I don't know. It's just such, like, a weird concept to me that we would go one religious text required reading. Just one.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I think, too, the challenge, I mean, as we talk about all the time, right? When you start picking and choosing any story out of Scripture, you're not getting the full narrative arc of Scripture.
Yeah.
And so you're ultimately getting a perspective of the story of Scripture that is not necessarily accurate, or at least not complete, right? I mean, you know, it'd be like, oh, we're just going to read two scenes out of Romeo and Juliet. Well, depending on which two scenes you read, you get very different understanding, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you have to read the whole play. You have to read the whole thing. And so I think that's the other, like, because the Bible is divided enough that it's easy for us to think, oh, I have read Psalm 23. I now understand whatever shepherds in the Bible, right? But, like, that's not how it works. Or I've read... you know, I read one gospel, I now understand Jesus. No, you understand one perspective of who Jesus was and how Jesus was at work. Like, And I doubt they're even reading a whole gospel, but that's just my guess.
Yeah, I think, Ian, like, even understanding American, like, civil rights movement separate from Christianity, I think is impossible.
That's fair.
Like, I think that all the works of Martin Luther King Jr. are deeply rooted in his faith.
Well, he's a pastor,
And but saying, like, separating... Like, to best understand his motivation and movement is to understand his faith. And so I think it's impossible to separate those two things.
But I can study Gandhi and I don't have a, like, deep understanding of Hinduism, and I can understand, like, where he's coming from.
But I think it's additive. Like, if you were an Indian citizen in India learning about Gandhi, understanding Hinduism is going to aid how you approach those types of things.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, as an American, getting a glimpse into Gandhi's, you know, philosophy. I think Martin Luther King Jr. is more important to America. So,
I hear that. Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
Here, I mean, obviously, I think we just don't really trust this because, one, I don't really trust my elementary school or high school teachers teaching my children about the Bible.
Sure.
Because I don't think they're going to do a very good job of it.
No, I worry about what version they're going to show up with, you know?
Like, well,
probably the NIV.
Well, yeah.
Actually, you're wrong. It's going to be King James.
King James, son of a gun. All right.
It's like the worst translation.
It is King James or NIRV.
What?
NIRV?
The New International Reader's Version, a simplified version of the NIV.
Oh.
Sorry. Threw up a little in my mouth there. My apologies.
The nerve.
King James. Yeah. Again, a terrible translation.
Yeah.
And terrible to understand.
Yeah.
Just, it's not good on any level, except for some of the Some of the poetry, I think, sounds nice in the King James.
Yeah. 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 All right. I don't like this. I don't like it at all. What are they going to make us read? What are we looking at?
All right. I mean, I'll give you kind of like a, here's the Blue Bonnet curriculum, or mm-hmm. do you want to know the what's proposed for 2030?
Give me the Blue Bonnet, because that's what I'm going to have to deal with first.
Right.
Yeah, all right. Kindergarten. Read alouds that mention creation.
Read alouds that like mention the 7 days of creation?
Yeah.
Oh.
All right.
It's already going off the rails.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think that this is necessary for a kindergarten.
No.
First grade, Good Samaritan, the Golden Rule, that's not really
biblical. Yeah.
The please and thank you?
I think the Golden Rule
please and thank you is not the Golden Rule.
The Golden Rule is do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which they're like...
That's great. But
you can get there.
It's Jesus-esque, but not Jesus.
Yeah. Good Samaritan is a great story.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Is not going to be taught in the way that like... All right.
We'll lose all the depth.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Carry on.
Second grade. King David.
Song. Which part?
Yeah. The adultery and murder part? Or
I'm saying that's probably David and Goliath.
David and Goliath.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah.
Psalm 23.
Which one's that?
The one that David wrote. Yeah, though I walk through
he
the valley.
Wrote, like all of them.
Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, I will feel no evil for thou art with me. That's the King James version.
That is the King James. And I tell you, it does sound...
It sounds nice.
It sounds poetry.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's the one.
It's a little weird.
You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows.
Yeah.
Yes.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Anyway.
Third grade.
It's the funeral.
Esther and Ruth. Hey, at least we got the girl books in there.
All right. I mean.
Some representation.
Yeah. You're welcome, ladies.
Yeah.
I will say Esther and Ruth are two really interesting stories to teach to third graders, but okay.
They're very sexy.
There's a lot of sexy time in Esther and Ruth.
Yeah.
I would definitely say, I think they are value, and especially because these are the two girl version books.
Sure.
You know,
they're great stories.
They are.
But if you were like an overview of scripture, Esther probably doesn't really matter all that much one way or the other.
Nope.
No.
And Ruth is such a personal and small part of kind of the overview
mm-hmm.
that it also like, if you're like, this is the overview of scripture, you could probably just skip over that and it wouldn't matter much one way or the other.
Yeah.
Fourth grade, Prodigal Son.
Great story.
Again.
Don't really want it taught. I think that one's frankly better to teach to whatever in the place of the Good Samaritan earlier. Good Samaritan should get enlightened. Now I'm justifying this. No. Okay. None of them should be here. All right. Yeah. Go ahead. What else we got?
Yeah. And then finally in fifth grade, it's selected readings from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
That's not.
What?
Discussion of Christian symbolism in the novel.
Okay. Like.
Like I'm fine to discuss symbolism in works of art.
Yeah.
We do that.
Read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Across religions, across belief systems.
But like, okay, if I'm an Islamic kid. And I'm growing up in Texas, and I have to go to school, and all I've read of, you know, Christian texts is the Good Samaritan and the Prodigal Son and Ruth and Esther. I'm not going to have a really great understanding of Christian themes in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe unless somebody starts telling me about the gospel and who Jesus is.
Sure, yeah.
And, like, the death and resurrection of Jesus, right? Because, newsflash and spoiler alert, I guess, for The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, it's all, like, Aslan is Jesus.
Those are the Christian themes.
Right, that's it.
Like, it is not the Christian themes present in Esther and Ruth.
Right. Which, yeah, like, so.
Yeah, I don't like outsourcing faith to the state.
Nope.
I think that
that is a
bad scenario for everyone involved.
Yep.
It has not gone well historically.
Yeah.
Ever, right?
I'm yet to find
a place.
I can't think of it.
And so, it's like I do acknowledge that I think understanding Christian themes does aid in your understanding of American history, including Abraham Lincoln and the Emancipation Proclamation, including the Civil Rights Movement, which I all think are very beautiful moments.
Lovely. Mm-hmm.
And I think they have Christian elements attached to them and that it is, it's even hard to understand them outside, you know, the Christian
mm-hmm.
elements.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that this is the way to do that. And I don't know what is, but I would trust our teachers to kind of like navigate those things.
More than saying, here are the biblical
passages. More than saying, from the state, in fourth grade, they have to read the Prodigal Son.
So when does this Bluebell thing start?
Bluebell's already. It starts in K.
No, sorry. Like, when is their biblical readings, like, is that going into effect immediately?
Bluebell's already out there.
But
Bluebonnet is out there.
Bluebonnet. Bluebell's the ice cream. But Bluebonnet has not had the biblical readings until this thing passed.
I believe Bluebonnet is there already. The statewide required reading does not come into 2030-31.
Okay.
That's because Blue Bonnet is optional.
But I think Blue Bonnet is adding this this religious reading component given this. I don't think that the... I don't know. I'm just curious. I have to watch my son's backpack next year more carefully to find out what's coming home. Because he'll be apparently reading about the Good Samaritan in first grade.
Well, thankfully, you can probably...
Yeah.
Yeah, but I can't fix his whole class.
He can't fix his whole class. You know, you should go... to like a career day and be like, let's talk about the prodigal son.
I once did a career day. It was when Sophia was in kindergarten. I did a career day and like the counselor was very kind and very gracious that I need to be clear up front. Like you can't talk about, I was like, yeah, I totally get it. It's not a problem. She's like, so what would you say? And I was like, I would say that I, you know, work with people and I help them through the situations that are hard. And I'm like with people when they're sick and when they're sad. And she's like, sounds fun. And so I went and did that and it was lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I mean, I had a great time. I don't know, you know, but I like had four different groups of kindergartners came through and asked me what I did. And I said, I'm with people. Like, how many of you have ever been to a hospital? I spend a lot of time with people in hospitals and I spend a lot of, and I lead this thing on Sundays where I, you know, and like I can talk about my job without saying, now you all have to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
Right. Or
like,
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would. Can you imagine being a kindergartner and for career day? Some guy in a black dress is like, I'm with people when they're sad.
Okay. Number one.
You'd be like, whoa.
Number one, I don't wear a black dress. I wear a white robe. Number two,
You have black ones, don't
you?
Yeah,
we've seen them.
There is a black one. I don't wear it anymore.
You don't wear it anymore.
off pod. Number two, I was not in my robe when I went to talk. I was just in a shirt and okay. I think maybe I had a tie. I don't remember.
Did you wear the collar?
No, I did not wear the collar.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
I didn't want to freak people out the minute they walked in.
Right.
For me, I do not trust the Texas legislature to
or any legislature.
to step over the line of teaching about religion to teaching religion to teaching faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't trust it. And I don't want some SBC teacher teaching my kids about what
faith. At least it'll be a man.
it could be a woman because they're allowed to teach kids.
Oh, right. That's okay. All
right. Or right.
A Catholic teacher or a Mormon teacher. That. And I think like people assume that their teacher will be teaching the version of Christianity that they subscribe to.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is I don't want an atheist teacher rolling their eyes while having to do this as part of their job description and teaching that to my kids, that these things are just like, this is the creation myth. And I might say, yeah, it's a myth in scripture, but like, I don't want that talk to come from my kid's first grade teacher versus when it's appropriate for us to kind of look at what does the Bible teach us about creation in relationship to, you know, how's their learning about evolution and things like that and how those things can be held together in Congress and not against one another or
not in the Congress of our government, just to be clear. We don't need them to hold it together.
Right.
They're not holding it together.
Right.
They can barely hold a fistful of pretzels. Okay.
They should learn a thing or two from me because I can show them this is how you do it.
Yeah. And so... Though I acknowledge, I think these things can add, I don't trust that we can do it well.
Yep.
And I think that is part of the challenge. And until maybe Christians in government and Christians in, you know, policing school boards can kind of like show good faith and how they can do it well, I would not be for it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, like, I could see a curriculum that says, okay, we're going to read... I don't think this is right? But I could see a curriculum of like, we're going to read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and we're going to read an excerpt of the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to like see, like, look how blatantly this is alluding from one to, like, look at what happens to Aslan, look at what happens to this guy, Jesus. And can you see the connections that the author is trying to make here and, like, talk about? Like, I can see that.
Or even, like,
that does not seem to be what this is.
The sacrificial death to resurrection.
Sure.
You know, Jesus is kind of our prime historical or religious example of that in the Western world, and how does that influence Western art that also hits those themes from Harry Potter to Aslan to other characters,
which
that we kind of see. Yeah,
I did in college. Like, I did a religion and film class in college where we looked at all sorts of movies from across the board and looked at Christian and non-Christian themes in the right. And so I think that's I see picking something like that up in college, but maybe there are ways to do that in a high school curriculum. I will say, I like this is separate, but I feel like things that I used to do at a much higher level are getting lower and lower at the level that they're being introduced. Does that make sense? Like, I don't know. Algebra 1 was like eighth grade or high school. And I feel like now it's like, oh, fourth grade, time for algebra, which is probably an exaggeration, but like it just feels like everything's getting earlier. Anyway.
Yeah.
So maybe religion and film now is a fourth grade class, and I took it as a sophomore in high school or college. So
right. That's fourth grade class, religion and film.
I don't know the world we live in, man. It's soon, a crazy place.
Kindergarten will be
going
over the death of Jesus day one.
They'll come in and be like, Daddy, this Inside Out really picks up on the sacrificial themes that I brought forth. And then, oh, man, okay.
Right. Wolf.
Which Inside Out does. Legit. Anyway, that's separate.
There's that religion and film class.
I'm just saying. Yeah. Look at what's his face? Bobo or what's the imaginary friend? Bing Bong. That's it. Bing Bong. Yeah. Bing Bong.
Interesting that the Jesus character in your mind is the imaginary one. Very interesting.
Oh.
Let's grade that film.
Do they audit churches?
I'm going to go get another fistful of pretzels. I'm going to enjoy them all by myself. I'm not going to share any of them with you. They're my pretzels.
All right. There you go. Those are the
things we missed.
The big, big newsy topics. I mean, there are plenty of always things out there, but.
World Cup.
I've not watched 1 second of it.
It's been happening.
Yeah. Soccer.
Yeah.
They like ranch.
Yeah. They do like ranch. I heard about this.
The Europeans digging it.
They love the ranch.
That's the thing that we've left the world with is ranch.
I did see at the airport and the little buying Texas souvenirs on the way out. Now they have big bottles of ranch. For the World Cuppers can come.
Right. Your duty free ranch bottle.
Duty free ranch. Yes.
Yeah, I like that. There was also a story in Boston that a bunch of Scottish fans drunk multiple bars out of alcohol.
Beautiful.
The Sam Adams Brewery had to go and order a special delivery of beer because they drank them out. It's like, oh, wow. All right. All right. Well, hey, if you enjoyed this episode, you can send us an email of other things we missed in June, what else happened there, or of news stories that you think we should cover in the future. And you can send it to beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.